Ed Wojcicki is joining us this morning, Executive Director of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. Ed, good to talk to you again.
It's great to be back on your station.
I tell you what, Ed, you know, and I talked about this last week, and it was the 28th of January, and 28 police officers had been shot. I it's hard to kind of keep track, but, you know, it's a pretty fair assessment that a police officer is shot every day in the United States at this point. How did we get here, Ed?
Well, I think we got here because the climate has changed so much about attitudes toward police and disrespect for authority, and people who are inclined to do that kind of thing feel emboldened, and so they just go ahead and do it. You know, we're seeing a rash of crimes and a rash of shootings, and you know, a lot of officers are killed, but a lot more shot too, or shot at, and it's very, very unfortunate to see this level of disrespect.
Sometimes I wonder if it's not so much about the police officer, and this is just a personal theory, Ed, that law enforcement agents are a proxy for government. People are mad at the government, but they can't get at the politicians, so they get at the law enforcement agent because it's attainable, it's close by. That it's really that the police officer are taking the heat for a lot of hate that goes to a lot of other places.
You know, that is kind of an interesting theory, and we have this copycat thing going on. We have been for a long time, and so people hear about it, and they feel more inclined to do it. They feel less afraid to do it,
right.
And you know, because in general now, for a whole lot of crimes, people are able to flee and the cops can't chase them, whether it's on foot or in cars, and people know that, and so I keep using that word emboldened, but I don't know what other word to use.
Yeah, lack of fear. You know, but it's interesting because this New York police commissioner, I'm watching his statements, the new mayor of New York is standing right next to him. And I don't know who's, apparently he's in a big room with a lot of people, and he's pointing and he's looking up, so I'm thinking there's at least a couple of floors of people. And he says, "We told you this would happen." That's not a phrase that we're unfamiliar with here in Illinois as we are a year into police reform.
That is correct. Just a little over a year ago when the big police reform bill was passed, we said this has all kinds of problems for the safety of our community. See, and that's what we talked about. And people, I think sometimes the politicians think that's just a cliche, but we are talking about the safety of our communities and the ability of people to just move around freely and feel like they're going to be safe. And I think now people probably in most places feel a little less safe. And yes, we were issuing that same warning in Illinois, loud and clear, but, you know, we are where we are.
Right. And here's the thing. We told you this would happen. So this is the interesting word there, because it's not just about the way police officers shot, attacked, killed on the job, but it's also about the crime we see in our communities. And it seems to me, looking in and nationwide, this has become about crime in general, and to a certain extent, retail crime, but really to limit it, I think, is a mistake. But crime, you know, sure, there's the retaliation, the actions against police, but criminals, home invasions, drive-by shootings, retail crime, we've seen this, and the call, you see it in the campaign. That's what this is going to be, one of the rallying points this year.
It certainly is, you know, and those things that you talked about get a lot of visibility, but you know, you're seeing more people, you know, just breaking into cars on neighborhoods, and you're seeing more people stealing packages off people's porches. And you know, people are not only shooting the police, but they're shooting each other, and they're shooting at each other, and then you know, they rarely cooperate with the police when it comes to trying to solve these crimes. And you're seeing in a lot of the cities in Illinois, a tremendous increase in shootings not of police, but of other people, and it's just terrible.
So the criminal justice reform, police reform, it's always got a lot of names, the Safety Act. Now, I know you do some lobbying there in Springfield, and as a matter of fact, I want to talk about your legislative agenda here in a couple of moments. I've talked to state representatives, says there's an awareness, and the people who supported these bills, they may have gone too far. But on the other hand, there was a reason why they went there in the first place. How do we walk through this minefield if our goal is success, and only success, not partisanism, making it safer for law enforcement, making a crime reduction effort in our communities? How are we going to convince the legislators who support this what changes need to be made to accomplish those goals?
You know, you're asking the million-dollar question here, and we're not sure, because so far we haven't found the right words to make them see the errors of their ways. You know, they're saying, you don't get it, that people need more opportunity, we need to do this police reform, and we need to tell them that the words that they're using and the phrases that they're using are doing great damage to our communities, and we need them to stop saying that. Now, you know, Patrick Windhorst down in Metropolis, he was our public official of the year last year because he was one of the most articulate, outspoken people saying the right things, you know, and we just so much appreciated the way that he raised those questions on the House floor while the bill was being passed. And, you know, there were no good answers, but then it passed anyway. So what do we do now? We had already had two bills last year that rolled back about 20 different sections of the law, and we're seeking some more this year. We just need, it's kind of too late just to repeal the bill, because it's in effect and everybody's working with it, but we need to just keep rolling back some of these provisions that are doing the most damage.
All right. So, you know, and some of those were addressed to a certain extent. So let's take a minute at the legislative priorities. We're speaking with Ed Wojcicki this morning, Executive Director of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police, because in your legislative priorities for 2022, I got this one that really stands out to me, and that's House Bill 1727. That involves qualified and tort immunity. It is done by Ray Tarver. Eliminates qualified immunity at state level, creates the Bad Apples and Law Enforcement Accountability Act, introduced in February, last referred to the House Rules Committee Qualified Immunity Task Force, in which retired Chief Chris Conrad is our representative, has not concluded its work on various recommendations. That's one that, to me, important twofold, because this is, I think, one of the fulcrum points for the inability to recruit law enforcement agents.
You hit the nail on the head there. You know, qualified immunity is a legal term that probably takes too long to explain on the radio. But in essence, what it does is it takes away an officer's ability to do his job on the street, because it says an officer who makes a split second decision and does the right thing and does everything the right way could still get sued. Might still have, you know, and people, what the ACLU and other groups want to do is they want to go after the personal assets of those officers, basically just for doing the right thing on the street. And it's just ridiculous. And people in law enforcement, they would say that probably the number one target is to just to make sure that bill doesn't pass. You are exactly right there.
That's the one that is the stone in my proverbial shoe when it comes to this session. Now, you said something interesting a couple of moments ago. Ed Wojcicki is joining us, and you said, we've got to get, you know, some of these terms that are being used, and you used the term embolden yourself. Say, look, they use these phrase, this phrase, that phrase. So let's give you an example about what Ed's talking about, because I think it relates to something else we're getting ready to talk about in the legislative agenda. Gavin Newsom, California, instead of, you know, robbing the FedEx and the porch, they just went and robbed the trains while they were sitting at the switching station. And he calls them gangs. And then he apologizes. Like, right? And I don't get this, for calling these organized groups gangs. Well, I've seen the locations. I know as of published reports, over 88 guns were included. So one recovered. They stole guns, anything they could get. So they talk about these things, and then people hear them and they act on them. And that's why I think House Bill 2539 increases felony threshold for retail theft from $300 to $2,000. Just saying that out loud says okay, I think I'm just going to go down and steal $1,900 worth of stuff.
Yeah, and think about it. You know, how much, if you go into your local Walmart, you know, unless you're walking out with, you know, two giant televisions, how much stuff you would have to steal for that to add up to $2,000, you know? And it's just, and that's why we can't have that, because then no one would be prosecuted for retail theft, and anybody could go into any of your stores, especially your smaller shops, all that are in every town. People could just go in there and steal to their heart's content, and they probably wouldn't arrest them because they're not going to prosecute them, and everybody would say, "What's going on with that? That is just crazy."
And you know, what's interesting, Ed, because it's not just retail theft; it's use of credit cards during the process too. You can get pretty imaginative there.
Yeah. Oh, you're absolutely right. You know, and that idea comes out of Cook County, which is probably no great shock to your listeners, but they just don't want to. In Cook County, they don't want to prosecute anybody for what they consider to be lower amounts, and it's just crazy.
Misdemeanor division, Representative Ammon Slaughter. This is something involving changing the penalties for methamphetamine. I did a recent interview. I've been still doing it if I can get some more state's attorneys, and you know they talked about criminal reform. But boy, meth showed up a lot because it's, once again, one of those pivot points that seems to be involved in so much. But this would change the penalties for delivery or possession. But you've got to go through a diversion or rehab program?
I have to admit that one I'm not familiar with, so I can't really address that. Sorry.
Okay. All right. It would change the penalties. Like I said, I just know a little bit about it. Passed the House in April and still negotiating on this one. There are a lot of other things involved in the legislative agenda for the Sheriff's Association. I mean, and there are a bunch of them. I think that there's a bill review for you coming up February 9th via Zoom, and during the meeting they're hoping to establish bill positions and identify the 2022 priority list. So that'll be coming up and on Ed's business calendar pretty soon. So here's the thing. I talked to Brad Robinson, Illinois Municipal League Executive Director, and we're talking about the difficulty recruiting police officers. He said, whoa, wait. It's not just police officers. It's EMT. It's firefighters. It's first responders. It's not just police. Any idea why that is, Ed?
Sure. You know, and it's because everybody who's a first responder feels dragged into this discussion that somehow the first responders are, I mean, let's face it. Here is what they hear. They hear, "Oh, you're racist." Or they hear, you know, "Oh, you treat certain groups too favorably over another, and this has been systematically going on for decades." That's the kind of stuff, those are the kinds of phrases that are being tossed around rather freely in Springfield. You know, and as these get repeated and repeated and repeated, it wears down people's psyches, and so it spreads, because all those first responders are kind of in a club of their own, and they work together so closely, and so none of them like to be who wants to be accused of being a racist when you're just going about your business, doing your job the right way.
Okay, Ed, and it's interesting because somebody just texted me on the American Mountain Tax Line. He says, "Is there a theory on why it seems so many people refuse to cooperate with police investigations?" And you know what? I kind of think that we were just talking about the same thing in its own way, right?
On that question of why they refuse to cooperate?
Yeah.
Well, because they've learned they can get away with it.
Yep,
they have learned, you know, if nobody sees anything, then they can get away with it, and they have a fear of retaliation. I mean, the fear of retaliation, you know, unfortunately, a lot of, for some things, people settle things themselves on the street, and, you know, they fear retaliation more than they do cooperation or becoming involved in the legal system.
Yeah, the consequences to the point where they would cover for somebody who shoots an 8-year-old baby in the face. I struggle with that, when it comes to some of these ideas. So there was one thing on the legislative priority list that I know almost nothing about, and I'm horribly curious about, and I'm hoping you can help me.
Okay.
What the heck is a relay box? A device designed to capture a signal from a key fob of a motor vehicle, because we've heard about carjackings, but I see this vehicle security circumvention device and a vehicle relay box possession, both carried by the same state representative. What are they, and what are they used for, Ed?
Do you know, I wish I could help you on that one, but I just can't. I'm sorry.
Well, I've done my homework. So this is apparently a motor vehicle keyless entry system that can read when you use your key fob what it used to open that vehicle. They can steal that and then steal your vehicle, the way I understand it. From a key fob motor vehicle to unlock and start a vehicle without the use or possession of the motor vehicle key, and sets of rules for allowing specific groups, including law enforcement, only to possess these. So this is something that we're supposed to hear more about in the session, providing they get some more days in. Ed Wojcicki this morning is joining us. He is the executive director of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police. It is one of the most trying times law enforcement. We talk a lot about it in the contemporary sense. This started in Ferguson, if not before. What is it going to change, have to happen, to get some change back where people do feel safe in their communities? They feel safe between the door of the store they just shopped and the door of their car, and that going to bed at night without the video cameras on. What's it going to take, Ed?
Well, I think right now there is an opportunity. I think that the pendulum might be starting to swing for this reason. All of a sudden, as you alluded to, people are very concerned about crime. They're very concerned about shootings. They're very concerned about carjackings. And some of the people who voted for that law are putting forth some laws now to say, hey, wait a minute, we have to put a stop to crime. I think that it's going to take a 180 degree turn about on the rhetoric about the law, about the police, and so on, and the message has to become more unified that criminals aren't going to get away with it anymore. They are going to be stopped.
Ed Wojcicki, he is the executive director of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police, and our guest today.